we go now, baby. We are right back in to the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. Lots of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel. Great big show plan for today. Finally, we have an above average Thursday night football game. I'm not going to call it a great looking game, but it does look like an above average matchup here. The Rams kind of streaking right now. Saints winning a little bit too. Much better than Easton Stick versus Aiden O'Connell. That's for sure. So we got that game. Some fun bets to break down there. We got some college bowl action to discuss. An avalanche of bowl games coming up here. And a nice looking schedule in the NBA tonight. Six total bets in the NBA from myself and John Mettler. That's at the back end the show. Before we get into it all, guys, if you like our show, it's easy to let us know. Just hit that like button right down there. And you can participate in the show. Just hit up the live chat. Let us know what your best bets are for tonight. Whether it be for the NFL game, there's a college bowl game, NBA, NHL, college basketball. We haven't talked a second of college basketball on the show yet. That's probably going to change in the new year. But yeah, let's get into it today with my first guest in his traditional Thursday spot. My man, the guy with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. I think that's fair to say at this point. Jingles, are you in the holiday spirit here or what?
I'm in the holiday spirit. It's winding down. Shopping's done. I did maybe 2% of it. Happy to have a significant other that does most of the shopping around this time. So, yeah, be busy wrapping. But right now, everything's good. Thursday night game, like you said, we don't have Stick versus O'Connell. But Derek Carr might not be much better. We've seen him in prime time too. Yeah, so this one could go wild. Like, we could, I don't know, like Stafford, they've been great. And, I mean, they could blow them out. I mean, New Orleans has played nobody in the last 2 weeks. I mean, they've given up zero touchdowns, but they haven't played anybody.
Yeah, a little bit of line movement here too, not in the direction that you would expect. So let's get into that. I woke up this morning. The Rams were -4 about an hour before going to air. They are down to -3.5. I like them at -4, so I certainly like them at -3. A lot of trends for this pick. First of all, McVay finishes strong. The Rams are 17-4-1 against the spread in their last 22 games played in the month of December. 10-1-1 at home during this tear. The Saints beat the Giants last week. Congratulations on that. But this team lacks consistency. They've gone 6-14-1 against the spread after a win since the start of the 2021 season. 1-4-1 ATS in the spot this season. And the Rams are in incredible form right now. One of the hottest teams in the league. Four straight covers, 28 or more points scored in all four games. Some pretty good defenses mixed in there as well. The Saints, meanwhile, they've had the second easiest schedule of the season. They've had it easy all season. And they've lost to pretty much every respectable team they face this season. They lost to the Lions, the Vikings, the Jags, the Texans, the Bucks, the Packers. I don't know if the Packers are respectable, but the Saints did lose to them. So, yeah, I like the Rams to take care of business here. -3.5. Jingles, what's your best bet for the game tonight?
I was on this over earlier in the week at 44.5. Some 46s out there. Still kind of like it at 45.5. This game script looks good from a standpoint if New Orleans is trailing, which is likely. They play much, much faster when they trail. They play super slow when they play with the lead. But I've had to pivot off that because they don't like the 46 as much. But Taysom Hill over 16.5. Ooh, Foster Moreau. I do like that Foster Moreau play. I do like it a lot. Taysom Hill over 16.5 rushing yards. Excuse me. That's professional. -120. We're seeing this go up. No injury report this week. He's back to full health. He missed week 14 and maybe he wasn't 100% last week. And I think we're getting a bit of a discount here. 41 rush attempts in his five games before his injury. He hit 50 plus rushing yards in three of those five games. His role in this offense is a lot bigger than he's being credited for at 16.5 yards. This is even a small number. It closed at 30.5 last week and it was 20.5 in the 3 weeks before the injury. So we're even getting at a good number. And he's not just getting snaps in the red zone. This was what he first came in this year. Dennis Allen was using him a lot more in the red zone, but he's starting to use them a lot more between the 20s now, which is really helped him, I don't know, increase his total yards. Love it. Kamara's averaging 3.9 yards per carry, Williams 3, and Hill here at 4.9. So he's one of the better rushing options. He also can tuck it if he's going to throw, and we know that scrambling can create big, big plays. The Blitz loves this play too. We released it at 14.5, I believe, projecting 30.5. Like I said, I hit this at 50-plus rushing yards yesterday at 10-1. And I think this is a great play here. And I think he even gets snaps even in either game script. So I'm not too worried about it. I know that Derek Carr isn't a guy who's going to get 100% of the snaps at quarterback. So give me Taysom Hill over 16.5 rushing yards, minus 120, pal.
Okay, my favorite prop for the game is also for a Saints player, Foster Moreau. We kind of teased it there a little bit. I like him to go over his receiving yard total of 7.5 yards. And this is a sneaky little play here, guys. He's topped this number in 7 of 8 games this season for an average of 20.5 receiving yards per game. And it might just take one catch with the guy. He does average 9.1 yards per catch. Now, Juwan Johnson, the other one of the other big tight ends there for the Saints, he's outsnapped him in 3 straight games by double digits in the last 2. Johnson, his receiving yard total is 19.5. And the Rams do struggle to defend the tight end position, 58.2 receiving yards allowed per game to tight ends. That is one of the worst in the NFL. So more rope to go over that receiving yard number. Jingles, let's get into the weekend. We got some Saturday games. I believe your best bet for the weekend comes from one of those Saturday games. What are we looking at?
Yeah, just to touch on your Foster Moreau play, best number right now for a TD, looking at plus 1,200 at Caesars. Ooh. And seeing as low as plus 600 at FanDuel. So some big discrepancy there. And as you said, he is getting a ton of snaps now, and I wouldn't be backing Juwan Johnson anytime soon. Let's get to Saturday. Buffalo Chargers. Professional money was just waiting for this line to open so they could smash the Chargers. Obviously move that a ton. Move the total significantly too, but I think we're at the buy point where we're going on the other way. This was a 40.5 look ahead and it's touched as high as 44, but that's where the resistance comes in. That's where I'm at. Under 44 here. Combined, these two teams on the season, 8-20 over under. Obviously that doesn't tell the whole story, but right now the Bills, I think, are a better under team. That running game right now, they've gone from 3 wide receiver sets 75% of the time to 35% of the time as they have established this running game. Now that Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid are both back, that's going to slow things down. Buffalo, surprisingly, one of the slowest teams in pace of play, sitting at 30th, so they can really slow things down. I mean, LA is coming off, obviously, that bad loss, so you think there'd be a little bigger effort defensively on this side, but even on their offensive side, we could see something that we saw in Buffalo last week, just a one-sided game. Easton Stick gets another start. There's more tape out on him. Keenan Allen's questionable. Austin Eckler doesn't look like he can run, and he's losing snaps to Spiller and Kelly, so there's a lot less threat offensively for the Chargers. It is indoors, which is the one thing I do worry about for the under, but I think this has moved enough from that opening 40.5. And then you get the coach bump here. I mean, who doesn't want an interim head coach that goes from the outside linebacker position right to the head coach? Going to be a motivated group there. This could be one-sided, but I do like the under. I think we've reached a point on it. And it's I can't hear anything. I can't hear anything, pal. I am in the dark right now. I see your lips stop moving. Hello? There he is. I'm back. I can hear you now.
Rick might have got cut off. I just added myself. Okay. Before we mess up any longer, we'll get you at the door.
Oh, Producer Mick is going to slap us.
Producer Mick ran to the bathroom, I guess. But What do you have going on over at covers.com and up on the YouTube channel that people can check out?
Smash some hockey props today. Looking for some overs in Ottawa, Colorado, and Toronto, Buffalo for some quick plays there. Back tomorrow for another 10 a.m. hockey release. We, I don't know, just a lot of football coming up this weekend. Doesn't really stop the holiday season, but there's a lot of plays. The Blitz is, seven primetime games this week, Joe. There's lots to bet on, so we'll be busy.
Lots to bet on. We will be busy. We're in time for the holiday season, but this is the business we work in. No days off. Well, a few. Christmas and Boxing Day for me, but it's a busy time. We're at the stretch run of the NFL season. But Jingles, we will leave it at that. We thank you very much for joining us. I think producer Mick is back now. So happy holidays, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Best of luck with your bets, and we will catch you again next Thursday.
Appreciate it as always, Joe. You and your family enjoy the holidays and enjoy some time off, pal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Producer Mick is back. He lost power. Brutal. Live chat right now. Some weigh-ins. Donald Glover saying, Joe, what's up, my man? I'm doing great. I'm in the holiday spirit. I got my kids a Nintendo Switch. I set it up last night. Mario Kart. Looking forward to that. And Patrick asks, how do you guys feel about Kyren Williams tonight? I mean, he's been tearing it up. His rushing yard total is in the 90s, which is kind of high. I would lean over, but I'm not personally betting that myself. Okay, let us get into my next guest here. Three-time Grey Cup champion, former San Diego Charger, our guy, Davis Sanchez. Davis, how you making out?
So you got your kids a Switch, but you gave it to them already?
No. Well, you got to set it up, right? Because you got to download the game onto it, because I don't want to give it to them on Christmas and then be like, oh, you got to wait an hour because I got to... So pro move right there, you know what I mean?
Very pro, yes. I love it.
Yeah, man. So I got her set up. I'm a veteran in the video game world. But let me start with this, Davis, before we get into the game tonight. So you've been around the sport of football for most of your life. You've been in the locker room at the professional level. We're at the point of the season. We're winding down here in the NFL. There's a lot of teams that don't have anything to play for. And a lot of people incorporate this into your handicaps, like, oh, they're ready for the offseason. They're ready to go away. I kind of view that as a bit of a square way of betting, because you still have players who are going to become free agents. They want to make a last impression. There's coaches who are trying to save their jobs or potentially trying to get promotions. But last week we saw, it looked like the Chargers just completely quit. And you saw some shades of that with the Jets maybe as well. So what do you think? Do teams and some specific players just mail it in at this point of the season?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I mean, it's guys who are, looking for contracts and maybe have some uncertainty as to next season. Those guys aren't mailing it in. Or a guy like, I mean, use Austin Eckler, for example, right? I mean, I don't think anybody believes that, Austin Eckler is – in jeopardy of not having a job next year. So, Austin Eckler is he playing? One of my plays is going to be the Austin Eckler under. I'm going to wait and see what happens when I hear closer to game time in regards to, how they're going to use it, or if he's going to play, or what the situation is there. But a guy like Austin Eckler, I can't see him wanting to risk getting hurt. I mean, will he play? Maybe. And then if he does, I don't think you hit it as hard. So I think guys who, a guy like me, who when I was in the NFL, I was a guy who was, every week I was making sure I was still on the roster. I managed to stick around a couple of years, but a game like this, I'd be playing, I would be throwing it in there just as hard as another guy would in the Super Bowl, because it was, for me, I had to make sure I was on the roster every week. But I think, so my answer is guys who are solidified and their teams are done, I would never back them, or would not want to back them for large amounts. And for guys who, even guys playing for new contracts, I don't know if I trust that, because I don't think anyone's looking at week, 16, 17, mean nothing game to validate whether Austin Eckler is worth, $15 million bucks a year or $10 million bucks a year, whatever it is. So, yeah, I would stay away from those guys completely. And guys can tell you they don't mail it in, but they completely will mail it in and not, just try not to get hurt.
Okay, let's talk about this game tonight. Like I said, an above average matchup, especially compared to the last two Thursday nighters that we got.
Can I ask something real fast here? Something just popped in my head real fast, and I thought about this. in college games. I would also, as we look at the college landscape here and the bowl games, and I don't know if you guys have already talked about it, Brad Powers, you guys are on. Any guy that's going to be a high round pick who is playing, I think really got to pay attention to those guys that decide to play and look at, you know, the same thought process. You can't play the game of football and not be thinking about, you know, getting hurt. I would always fade those guys as well, just because, you know, a lot of guys aren't going to play, right? But the guys that do play and are projected first round picks, I'm always fading those guys. It's just human nature. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, it's a good way to think. I always view it as like people think, oh, this team is tanking. And I'm like, well, the players aren't tanking. I think sometimes management, they might be setting the team up to fail. Maybe they're not putting the best players in. Maybe they're like, yeah, let's take a look at the young guy at quarterback, where they know that that guy's not going to give them a good chance to win. But I think if the players are on the field, you'll get a good effort. So let's talk about this game tonight. Two teams with playoff aspirations. The Saints, who had a bit of a cupcake schedule. The Rams, one of the hotter teams in the league. Do you have a best bet for the game tonight?
I do. So we're still waiting on numbers for the Rams, number three and number four receivers. So DeMarcus Robinson, Tutu Atwell. I believe it's because of Atwell concussion protocol thing. And now he's, you know, I've read that he has cleared protocol, but there's still no numbers up. My best bet is going to be Cooper Kupp under. Now, here's the deal with Cooper Kupp. I'm not, you know, fading Cooper Kupp. I don't think that Cooper Kupp's a good receiver. He's going to get, you know, have a decent night. I do think that if you look at the Saints defense and how, you know, how Cooper Kupp and Stafford work, that Saints defense is young. They're athletic. They'll tailor their slot. He'll press you a lot. He'll make you work. And what that does, and that's why my two bets work together, and that's it's going to be 2-2 Atwell, depending on the numbers, obviously, but leaning towards some 2-2 Atwell overs, some DeMarcus Robinson potential overs. And that's because if you look at what Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp doing, it's the same thing for Nacua, but I just – Stafford's number is higher, so I look to under in Stafford. But if he has to work to get off his route, because those Saint DB, Dennis Allen, will, they'll play man, they'll press you, they'll really make Cooper Kupp work to get off his route. If Matthew has Stafford has to get off that first look, which is often Cooper Kupp, he's going to go to the – he'll get one-on-one on the outside with Tutu Atwell, with DeMarcus Robinson, and he'll get his shots. Now, I don't trust a ton, and especially Marcus Robinson, but I do think that if he gets those shots, a number like, you know, if the number's in the 20s somewhere, I mean, you're getting a receiver that even alt numbers at 30, one shot in a one-on-one coverage, you get, if you get two or three of those in a game, you're going to catch one of those, and I think that puts those guys over, and they will get those opportunities.
Yeah, Davis loves his wide receiver props. So before I let you go, I got to get you to touch on the two biggest games of the weekend. We have the Dolphins hosting the Cowboys. Dolphins favored by 1.5. Then the Christmas night game looks like one of the games of the year, if not the game of the year. We have the Ravens in San Francisco. 49ers favored by 5.5 points. I know they beat the crap out of everybody, but the Ravens, you know, number one seed in the AFC with a really good defense. So any thoughts on either of those games?
Yeah, you want to talk Dallas here?
Yeah, Dallas Dolphins. What do you think?
Dallas, Miami. Yeah, so what I looked at right away is I want to give, you know, credit to Deron Bland for his amazing season. You know what's coming. You know there's a butt coming here. He's going to be a Pro Bowler. He's had an outstanding year. But he is the guy I circle when I look at the matchup. I mean, Deron Bland is and they're going to play a lot of man coverage. And Deron Bland is a guy, I think I saw somewhere, but his you know, the separation rate at Deron Bland is extremely high. His PFF grade is you know, they'll grade on targets and interceptions and plays made off an offset. But if you look at pure coverage, Deron Bland is not strong, and he's going to be putting man-to-man coverage. I like the overs. If it is Tyreek Hill out, I like the Jaylen Waddle over, depending on what we have there. Same situation. They're holding off on putting those out in most places I've seen just a few minutes ago. But I do lean towards that matchup, the Dolphins receivers against, I think, an overrated Cowboys secondary. They've made plays, and they benefit from the pass rush, of the Dolphins, but just as pure cover guys, I don't think they're that. Actually, they're not that good. So I like the Dolphins, looking at some Dolphins receiver numbers over.
Yeah, I think and I hope Tyreek Hill will play as a fan of the Miami Dolphins. But if you see the footage of him warming up before the Jets game, he looked like he was going to get to go. But hard cuts are a little bit different when it's live action in the NFL. So who knows? Maybe a little bit of load management there by the Miami Dolphins last week against the inferior Jets. Now, I talked about this game here on Christmas, Davis. Ravens, a 5.5-point dog. I think it's too many points. What do you think?
I disagree.
Okay.
I like the Niners. And it's, I mean, you know, look, I mean, I don't disagree that it's too many points. I think that is a lot of points for as good as the Ravens have been. I think the Ravens defense is overrated. And if you look at, you know, how they grade out, they haven't played a ton of good teams. It looks like the Jags only scored 7 points, but I think when you put layers back there, the Jags moved the ball decently well. And their defense is graded exceptionally high. The Ravens are. But I don't think they're that dominant, and it's because of who they've played. They haven't played a ton of good teams. But moving into the game and how I think it plays out, and a play I have for that game is Rashad Bateman over 27.5 yards in receiving. Now, Bateman over, the reason for that is I think that Niners defense, which is not what I have here on the Niners defense. They're only 15th in the NFL in yards per attempt rushing. They're a better run defense than that would indicate. Also we're looking at a team in Baltimore that nobody runs more two backs than the Ravens. I feel like the Niners go into this game with that mindset of focusing on stopping what is the identity of the Baltimore Ravens, and that's the run game. And I do feel like the numbers don't necessarily indicate how good this Niners run defense can be. If they impose their will. That being said, I think they dedicate, the mindset and how they call defense to stopping that run. I think Rashad Bateman, I think that the Ravens will be trailing. Another reason I think Bateman can get some shots on the outside. And so that's one of the ways I see this game playing out. I love this number. I think you get a lot of one-on-one outside. I don't think the Niners' corners are great. So if the Niners do win this game, they do stop the run, I think you get some shots outside with your speed guy 101.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the 49ers did smack the crap out of the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they're not just beating up on bad teams this season. So, who knows? That should be a good one.
Should be a good game, though. That's for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Davis, my man, we will leave it at that. Best of luck with those picks. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we will catch you again next week.
Happy holidays to everybody. Enjoy.
Yes, sir. Okay. Let us keep moving here. Let's not keep our guy waiting any longer. Our guy, Brad Powers, as we shift gears here to college football bowl season, an avalanche of games coming up, including one tonight and one tomorrow that we'll get into. Brad, how are you making out?
Excellent. Good to see you're in the holiday spirit there, Joe.
Oh, of course. It's just I got my hair cut earlier in the week, and I'm embarrassed about it. So good excuse here to throw the hat on. Okay, so let's get right into it here. A handful of games to discuss and an angle that we discussed on Monday's show that we'll get you to follow up on. The Boca Raton Bowl going down tonight. We have Syracuse as a 3-point favorite, a total of 56 points for this one. Any thoughts, any leans, any analysis that the people should know about?
Yeah, I mean, as per usual, this bowl season, there's a lot to sift through as far as who's playing, who isn't, who's coaching, who isn't. Let's talk the Syracuse side. They've been hit a little harder. They have an interim coach in this one, and their offensive coordinator is going to be out. That was just announced this morning that their OC is not going to be calling the plays, so that'll be interesting to see how they handle that. Their starting quarterback, Garrett Schrader, that was announced a couple days ago. He's not going to play in this one, so they're going to go to the tight end, who's kind of a converted quarterback, and they've actually done this already this season for a couple of games. So I expect a little bit of a slower tempo now from Syracuse, something I wasn't expecting when this game was first announced. If you had to play the side, I'd lean South Florida, just so with so much uncertainty on the Syracuse side.
Okay, let's talk tomorrow's Gasparilla Bowl, a 6-point spread in this one, a sky-high total of 68, which is the highest total of any remaining bowl game Any thoughts on the spread, and do you think the total is too high?
I agree with the over money. Now, it did open 61 and a half. We did, just before I came on the air, we saw money on the dog and the under. Sides down to 5, unders down to 67. I prefer the dog more than anything at this one. Now, both teams are going to run a lot of high tempo. Both teams haven't seen too many opt-outs. The opt-outs that have occurred are on the defense side of the ball. That's why we saw a ton of over money. I'll take the Georgia Tech team because I think both teams are relatively similar. Both teams are excited to be here. Both teams want a winning season since they're both 6-6. I'll take Georgia Tech here plus the 5 and agree with the move here right before the show came on.
Okay, let's get into Saturday. There's two games here that we're going to discuss. The Potato Bowl. I like a name like that. Nice and simple. The Potato Bowl. We have Utah State favored by 2.5 over Georgia State. Who do you like in this one?
If we're going to go best bet as far as the 7 bowl games on Saturday, this is the one that I like the most. I like Utah State. I'm going to lay the 2.5 for a multitude of reasons. Let's talk about who's not playing for their opponent, Georgia State. Top running back, backup running back, top wide receiver, top offensive lineman. Those guys have all transferred to Power 5 programs, so they've lost a lot of high-end talent from this year's team. So that's a big negative. Also negative, Georgia State's not used to playing in Boise, Idaho. Utah State is, because Boise State's a conference opponent. So I think that's advantage, Utah State. And then finally, and we'll get into it, Sun Belt's been horrific so far this bowl season. We talked about it on Monday, Joe. They have still not covered a single game yet. And it's been pathetic results. It's not like, oh, they had a couple of bad covers. They are playing third-string quarterbacks and are getting beat. They are blowing double-digit leads. This conference is extremely overrated at this point.
Absolutely. Okay, let us wrap with the Armed Forces Bowl. A tight spread here. Air Force, a dog of 1.5, taking on James Madison. What do you think for this matchup?
Taking Air Force, plus the points here. I think they win the game. Let's start. James Madison, last I checked, another Sun Belt team. I don't mind fading. I also don't mind fading a team with an interim coach. A lot of kids have hit the portal. They say they're going to play. I don't know if I'm going to take these kids' word for it at this point. I mean, I've seen a lot of these kids are going to quote-unquote play, and then game day shows up, they're late scratches. So I think there's the possibility of that on James Madison. Here's one thing I don't have to worry about is a Service Academy team being motivated, because since this whole opt-out era started the last 5-6 years, these are the records for the bowl games for the Service Academy. Air Force has won and covered 4 in a row, bowl games I'm talking about. Navy has won and covered 5 of their last 6 bowl games. Army's won and covered 4 of their last 5 games. I know what I'm getting from a Service Academy team in a bowl game, and that's a good, solid effort. If we get that from Air Force, they're winning the game.
I love good betting angles. That's a really good betting angle for the Service Academy teams here in bowl games. Okay, Brad, we're going to leave it at that. So we have no show on Monday. Brad is usually on the Monday show, but it's Christmas Day, so we have that one off. But Brad will be back with us next Thursday, where we're going to be breaking down the semifinal games and probably a bunch of other games too. We're going to have a lot to discuss, a lot to catch up on. So, Brad, thanks for joining us today. Best of luck with those bets, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and your family and everybody watching right there. Happy holidays.
Yes, sir. Okay, let us keep on rolling into the National Basketball Association. Good-looking board tonight in the NBA. So now we will bring in our guy, the king, the self-proclaimed king of player prop betting. He loves it when I call him that. Let's bring him in, John Mettler, NBA analyst here at Covers. John, how are you making out?
Good. Excited for the big matchup between the Jazz and the Pistons.
Jazz Pistons, we have Wizards Blazers, so a bunch of big games tonight. And on the show Monday, I talked about the Detroit Pistons. I said, all these bums on the internet, it's easy to make fun of the Pistons because they can't win a game. Meanwhile, everyone making fun of them, what have you done with your life that's so special? That's what I say to you. So I say, let us rally around these young men, throw them a little bit of support. So let's start there, John. You have a rare money line pick for the Jazz Pistons game. Break it down for us.
Yeah, money line bet on the Detroit Pistons.
Yes.
Which ironically actually came about because I was doing some research on a Bojan Bogdanović assist prop, which also I bet the over on over 2.5. I just bet that on before coming on air here. For the Pistons though, it's just if you take the opposite, if you think of like eliminate the losing streak, like the 24 games, whatever. And if you just go roster for roster, I think everyone would feel a lot more comfortable betting the Pistons at this line. It's just kind of the narrative of like, don't be that person betting on the Pistons because you're throwing your money away. They've lost 24 in a row. But if you're looking at the rosters that are competing tonight, the Jazz just were on the road last night. They lost to Sam Merrill and Tristan Thompson of the Cavaliers. The Jazz are not in a good way either right now. Keyonte George is out. Jordan Clarkson's out. That's their whole backcourt. I personally don't think Lauri Markkanen's playing tonight. He's supposed to be on a minutes restriction. He led the Jazz in minutes last night. So to me, that tells me the front and the back-to-back, they were going to play him back into the back-to-back. They're not going to play him. I think that's the only way. If you're on a minutes restriction and you lead the team in minutes in a loss, a game that they are down by like 15 points, I don't think you're playing today. So that news hasn't necessarily broke yet. I bet this at plus 110 this morning because I thought it would hop to Pistons being the favorite. It actually kind of is already starting to do that. We still don't have any news on Markkanen. He's not necessarily on an injury report because he's not questionable or anything. It'll just be like a load management type of thing. And there's no penalties for load management against the Pistons. So the Jazz won't have to worry about that. I would just be careful. People might start running with the narrative of the streak ends tonight. If it, you know, if the juice starts to climb past minus 112, I would leave it alone. But I do... Okay. Like, I'm not attacking the, I'm not trying to be funny, like, oh, they end the streak tonight. I just thought it was a good price this morning.
Yeah, the Jazz absolutely stink on the road. If you dig into their numbers, they're really good at home, a really good bet on their home court, but not so much on the road. So, yeah, like I said, let's rally around these young men and throw our support behind John Mettler's Detroit Pistons. John took the over on their team total. I'll remind them of that often as the season goes along. Okay, let's keep on rolling. We've got five more to get to. I'm going to start things off with the Pistons. First half, I played this earlier in the week. I'm going to play it again. A single point favorite in the first half versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Cavs have gotten absolutely spanked in this spot multiple times this season. So they're in the second game of a back-to-back. They have first half losses of 11, 14, and 10. In the second game of a back-to-back this year, New Orleans is red hot in the first half, 8-2 ATS in their last 10 in the first half with a league best plus 8.3 first half point margin, and expect to see the Pelicans on the free throw line a lot tonight. Last 10 games, New Orleans is third in free throw attempt rate in the first half, Cleveland 28th in opponent free throw attempt rate in the first half. So we'll take the Pelicans to keep on rolling there in the first half. Their games. Okay, John, let's take a trip to Prop City. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm going Desmond Bane under 5.5 assists. It was a minus 140 when we came on. It's been moving all morning, so I wouldn't be surprised if it moved again. For Bane, like Bane last year, I remember like while he was playing with Morant, he was trading like 3.5 plus money, 4.5, you know, a little juice and stuff, a little heavy on the juice. The 5.5 is just, I don't think they've properly adjusted for Morant coming back. So when Morant was gone, you know, Desmond Bane, he's the primary ball handler. He's the focus of the defense. When you're the focus of the defense, this opens up passing lanes because you have help defense running at you. You're going to give it, you have opportunities for more assists. This completely flipped on Bane last game, and you could see it even in the potential assists. So Bane was averaging 11 potential assists per game on the season. Last game with Morant, only 4, and Morant had 16. So Morant takes Bane off the ball quite a bit. It also changes the coverages that will be played against him in terms of how he could even get assists. Even more specifically to this matchup with the Pacers, you know, this is like a common theme here. We think we keep thinking, you know, Pacers high scoring, lots of assists. It really depends on the player, and Bane's someone who he has no problem finishing at the rim. So if he's going to, you know, get going downhill single coverage, I think he's just going to finish it. He's not going to be passing. The bottom line is this total just needs to be adjusted for Morant coming back. The 5.5 is too high. You'll probably see it even after today's game. It'll probably go down to 4.5 and maybe even, you know, like a 3.5 plus money for the over for him. That's kind of more who he is with Morant in the lineup.
Okay. Mettler loves those assist props. Okay. My next bet, I'm going to take the Chicago Bulls to cover as a 5.5 point favorite with the San Antonio Spurs in town. How about a little bit of goddamn respect for the Chicago Bulls, people? They're on a 9-1 against the spread run. And they're not playing a bunch of scrubs during the stretch either. Lakers, Sixers, the Heat twice, the Nuggets, the Bucks. And they did play the Spurs in this stretch. They beat them by 9 down in San Antonio. The Spurs on the road are an absolute joke. They are getting destroyed on the road. 7 double-digit losses in their last 9 road games. They have a league-worst EFG percentage on the road while ranking 26 in opponent EFG in that span. And the Bulls will have a couple big edges in this game, most notably in the paint. First versus 27th in opponent offensive rebound percentage. The Bulls are second in rebounds per 100 possessions. Sixth in points allowed in the paint. Also from three-point land, the Bulls are making it rain. This is a matchup between teams ranked first and 23rd in three-point percentage over the last 10 games. John, your final pick of the show, let me guess. It's an assist prop.
Yes. It's funny with the Bulls, just because you brought up, all they had to do was take Zach LaVine out of the lineup, and all of a sudden they're winning every game. Kobe White's cool, playing awesome. But my last prop is, it's an assist prop. This time an over, though, so a little more exciting for people. Josh Giddey over 4.5 assists. So we played this a couple weeks ago against the Kings. With Giddey, it's, you know, you have to acknowledge that he was benched in Saturday's game against the Denver Nuggets. That personally doesn't really concern me. Like, I went back and was watching the Thunder's game. You know, I think it was message was sent by Mark Dano. Giddey comes back next game against the Grizzlies. He's 16 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, his usual 25 minutes in a blowout. He actually might have played more. They didn't play in the fourth quarter, any of the starters for the Thunder, so we don't really know if he would have played more. So I'm not too concerned about the benching. I think it's good to, you have to at least acknowledge that happened. I don't think you can just ignore that when you're betting an over on a guy. For Giddey, though, we don't need, like, this is such a low total for Giddy's skill set that we're not looking for 30 minutes. The 25 minutes, fine. If he plays 25 minutes, we have an edge on this line. And, like, specifically to him playing the Clippers, the Clippers are going to try to hide James Harden on whoever your corner three-point shooter is, and Giddey spends a lot of time hanging on the corner. So typically, you know, like, if that defender is like a Wembanyama, you want shooters, so Wembanyama can't stay for help defense. But when it's a Giddey, you don't necessarily need shooters. I don't think anyone's fearing James Harden playing help defense on someone driving to the rim. If anything, you want Giddey coming up out of the corner with Harden on him and running actions to get Harden involved into playing defense. You just don't want a shooter staying in the corner so you can get away with Harden being on the court without guarding anyone. So I think that's why I do like this Giddey prop, because I think you're going to see him get involved a lot more in the offense so they can attack James Harden. He's also been running his minutes quite opposite of SGA, so that also opens up quite a bit of more assist opportunities for Josh Giddey as well.
Okay, there we go. Giddey over. Okay, let me bring it home for his final pick of the show today. Another banger of a game. We got the Wizards in Portland taking on the Trailblazers. A lot of excitement for this one. Me and John will be staying up late for this one, right to the final whistle. My bet for the game, it's going to go to the final whistle of just the first half, though. I'm going to take the Wizards to cover the first half spread coming in. +2, beautiful looking spot for them. So strong starts on the defensive end for Washington. Horrendous starts for Portland. Check this out. First half opponent EFG percentage over the last 10 games, 6th versus 29th in favor of, obviously, Washington. The Wizards fall off dramatically after halftime, so you're better off sticking to first half bets with them. They're also shooting it a lot better in the first half. First half EFG over the last 10, 11th versus 30th. And the Blazers have been an incredible fade in the first half at home this season. 2-10 against the spread in the first half at home with a -9.3 point margin. The Wizards are hot in the spot on the road. 7-3 ATS in their last 10 games on the road. Don't sleep on the Wizards in the first half on the road when they're in Portland playing the Blazers. Okay, so that's our 6 picks. Quick question for you, though, John. So I noticed you do a lot of assist props. You have the occasional point prop for us. Is there a reason why you don't bet a lot of rebound props?
Yeah, the reason's kind of funny. It's just, when I played basketball, I was a small guy. I played point guard, and I was big into getting people involved in assists, and I think it's just kind of how I watch the game. So when I flip on a game, I'm like watching to see how the shots are being created, what offense they're running, who they're attacking. Okay. I'm not really watching to see what defense is being played to make sure someone's rebounding. So it's just kind of how I take in the game. That it just plays the assist prop for me.
It's how you read it. And that's a good answer. Yeah. I find with the rebound props, so like they can be very random on some nights. Like with the assist props, you know who's going to have the ball in their hands, but you don't know which way the ball is going to bounce off the rim necessarily. Now, you know, the Giannis's, the Embiid's are going to get their double digit rebounds and whatnot. But assist, maybe you can get better reads on those. So good answer there. Am I back? Do you hear me, John?
Yeah.
John hears me. Okay, we're off the screen here. But yeah, we'll leave it at that, though, John. We will let you go here, but you will be back with us on Friday, and we're doing an NBA Christmas Day special as well that we will be recording. So thanks a lot for joining us, and we will catch you on tomorrow's show.